Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. You may have heard the quote, ask and you shall receive. I looked it up. It's from the Bible. It is not necessarily how things play out when you are asking your boss for a raise, trying to get a lower mortgage rate or a better deal on the car you want to buy. But part of the challenge might be in the way you start these conversations. Matt Schultz is a personal finance author, educator, speaker, and he wrote a book called Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More. He's got a bunch of different scenarios that help you save money just by making requests. We reached him in Austin, Texas. Hello there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This is a different take. I mean, there's thousands of personal finance books out there. This is a different take. And I want to begin with the headline at the very top of your introduction, which reads, "You have more power over your money than you realize." What do you mean by that?
I mean that oftentimes people feel helpless and powerless when it comes to their money, especially if they're dealing with giant banks or huge companies or really even friends and family sometimes. But the truth is that you do have more power over your money than you realize. And part of why that is that when you're talking about businesses, whether it's, you know, a small mom and pop place or a giant bank, most businesses view you in terms of lifetime value, meaning the longer you stick around, the more money they make off of you. So knowing that, businesses are often willing to waive that $40 late fee or to give you that logo t-shirt or things like that to keep you happy, because they know that that little bit of money that they give you is going to engender such goodwill that you're going to stick around and they'll make more money off of you in the long run. Once you understand that, then you're coming at this from a position of power rather than you feeling like you're groveling or things like that.
We're going to get into some of the specifics, but one of the things you have chosen to do in writing this book is to provide people with actual scripts, like if X, then Y, which is super helpful. Can you give us a bit of an example for what those requests, what a request would actually sound like?
Yes, the request that really inspired the book is about asking for a lower interest rate on a credit card. And about 3 out of every 4 people who ask for one of those get one, but far too few.
Where did you get that data point from? That is a shocking data point.
Isn't it? It's why I wrote the book. In my job at LendingTree as chief industry analyst and in previous jobs, kind of looking over and analyzing the credit card space, we have at LendingTree, we have done that survey, and I've seen it done in other places as well. But yeah, this year it was 76% of people who asked for a lower interest rate on their credit card in the past year got one, and the average reduction was 6 percentage points. So that's like going from 25% on your card to 19. It's really significant stuff.
So you pick up the phone, you call the credit card company. What falls out of your mouth?
Well, the first thing you do before you pick up the phone is you do a little bit of legwork, whether you're looking at sites like LendingTree or NerdWallet or Bankrate, or in your snail mail or at your bank that you have a credit card or checking account, a checking account or savings account with, and seeing what offers are out there that you would qualify for. And when you have one that you know that you qualify for, then you can use that to frame the conversation. So you can pick up the phone and say, "Hi, I've had your card. I love it. I've always been a good customer, but my interest rate on it is 27%, and I've just been offered this card at 21%. Would you be willing to match it?" And because the credit card marketplace is so competitive, they're at a minimum going to listen to you, and there's a decent chance that they'll work with you.
It's funny because as you put it in those terms, I think, well, we tell people to do that with their cell phone all the time and their, internet service provider all the time. We don't tell them to do that on credit cards and for credit card interest rates in particular. You recommend people ask open-ended questions. So the example that you gave, which I love, is don't say, "Can I get a lower price on this car repair?" Do say, "How can we lower the price?" What's the difference between those two approaches?
The difference is that a closed-end question makes it really is basically a yes or no answer. And what you're wanting to do in these negotiations, in these conversations, is to not give the person on the other end of the phone or across the checkout counter an easy out. So if you ask an open-ended question where it's, can you lower my interest rate, as opposed to who on your team can I speak with about getting my interest rate lowered? Just that little change can make it to where it's a conversation instead of an ask. And it's a little thing, but it can be really significant.
You're a big believer in following through because I look at those scripts and you're like, no, then I'm doing this. No, then I'm doing that. No, then I'm doing that. How far do you take this? Would you go like park in the driveway of the CEO of Capital One?
Well, it's really ultimately the biggest thing that you can do most likely is threaten to close that card and take your business elsewhere. It's important that if you are going to do that, that you understand the ramifications of it, particularly to your credit score. But if you are willing to potentially close that card and leave and take your business elsewhere, that is how you are most likely to get them to work with you. It's really the same concept as going to a car dealer and saying, "No, I think I'm good." And then you walk out the door and the salesman chases after you and says, "No, no, no, I have one more deal." It's really the same concept. These folks don't want to let you leave because your business is valuable to
And
them.
we for sure don't want people closing down credit cards because of the credit score impact, but you can threaten it and then just not use the card. You can use a different card for your transactions without canceling it. You preach the power of phone calls. Are you 90 years old? Who picks anymore?
Not gonna lie, sometimes I feel like it,
Yeah. Why is voice to voice better?
voice to voice or face to face is better because, again, it's people are less likely to say no if you have developed a sort of rapport with them. And it's really, I mean, we just look at social media as the perfect example, and we see all the time. I mean, platforms are built basically on this idea where people say things to people in social media and in text that they would never in a million years say to them in a Zoom or in a phone call or certainly face to face. So, yes, it's certainly a little old-fashioned. And yes, I do also understand that it can be difficult just to get a person on the phone in some cases. But generally speaking, if you can actually speak with another person, your chances of getting your way are far better than if you're going through a bot or something that's emotionless and never really makes that connection.
You have three categories that you apply to help you assess the ask: possible impact, chance of success, and simplicity. How do you recommend people use those categories?
Well, it really is kind of about figuring out whether you want to go about doing it. And what I really wanted to do with really the whole book, but especially with those three concepts, is to just kind of anticipate people's concerns and people's questions about whether this will work. And it's the idea of, "Can I, if I do this, is it going to work? And if I do want to do this, how hard is it going to be? And if I do end up going through with it, how much does it really matter?" And those are all really significant things Because if something is going to take you forever to do and you're not really going to gain anything from it, then it's not really worth the effort. So the idea of those three things were to help people kind of gauge the likelihood of things working and kind of the amount of effort needed to do those things.
Some of our listeners will be like, sign me up, love it, let's do it. It's in my comfort zone. Now I've got a new access to ways that I can do that. But I would bet the majority of people who hear this conversation will have some sort of barrier, some sort of hurdle. It could be time, it could be self-confidence.
Yep.
How do you address the yeah buts for people who are like, I can't do that?
Well, the biggest yeah but is really that people are scared of negotiation. People don't want to negotiate, even sometimes that in a situation where they know that they're going to be successful. And one of the big points I want to make from the book is that you have way more experience with negotiating than you realize. And it may sound kind of strange, but most everybody has negotiated what the temperature is going to be at their house with a partner or a roommate. People have negotiated who in the carpool is going to take their kids to soccer practice on what day, or when that meeting is going to be at work, or where you're going to go to dinner with a group of friends. Even though those are a little bit lower stakes than medical bills and job negotiations, it's still the same concept. And if you can feel comfortable in those sorts of things and apply some of the same concepts to those bigger deal things that you do to the smaller everyday things, then it can really help.
Just before we go here, practice. What is the purpose of practice and how do you do it? Am I like talking to my spouse, pretending that they're the credit card call center person?
Potentially, yeah. If you feel like your spouse is the right person to do it, maybe it's a relative or a colleague or a friend, but really what it is about kind of preparing you to play the game, I guess is kind of a way to look at it. So you run through one time where everything goes perfectly and it just couldn't have been easier. Then you run through it another time where it maybe gets a little tougher. They give you a little more pushback. And then maybe that third time, the person you're role-playing with just hammers you and you kind of see what some of your answers might be. And sure, you're not going to be able to predict exactly what the scenario is going to be, but in the same way that Steph Curry still takes 500 shots a day, even though he knows that he may not take the exact same shot in the game, it's really about getting those reps, feeling more comfortable, and being ready when it comes time for you to do your thing.
Okay, I'm sneaking in one last question. What is your number one don't? Anger, tears, or something else? What's the don't?
Anger is a pretty big one. Tears can be okay if they are not manipulative and if they come from a genuine place. But really, being a jerk is about the biggest no, because the truth is that person on the other end of the phone or across the counter has probably been yelled at 10 or 12 times already today. So you can really stand out by being nice. And we all get consumed with wanting to be an alpha and tough guy and all that sort of thing. So much of life is really just about being nice and treating people well. And then you'll be amazed at exactly how much you can get accomplished then.
Basically playing into the strength of Canadians from coast to coast to coast. That's who we are.
There you go.
Nice of you to join us. Thank you for accepting our request and best of luck with the book. We appreciate you making the time.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Matt Schultz is a personal finance author, educator, and speaker. His book is called Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More.